And we're continuing with our sermon series. We've been talking about faith, hope, and love. Today is our last sermon in this summer sermon series. We're wrapping up. We're talking about love today, and we're thinking about love in action. So I invite you to take your Bibles or to follow along in the order of worship or on the screen as we read our text for today. It's in Mark chapter 10. We are reading verses 17 through 31. And think with me today about all that we've talked about with faith, hope, and love, and specifically today, how we can put our love into action. God's word says, Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Well, who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, With human beings, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." May God bless the reading of this word this morning. Will Campbell was a noted author and speaker. But Will Campbell was known as someone you should not invite to speak unless you really wanted to know exactly what he thought. It didn't matter the audience, didn't matter the topic. If he was given the opportunity, Will Campbell was going to speak his mind and tell you exactly what he thought about the matter at hand. Well, I guess the pastor at Riverside Church in New York City was not aware of this fact with Will Campbell, because several years ago, the pastor at Riverside invited Will Campbell to speak, not just once, but a series of sermons. It was a series of sermons on the topic, "What Riverside Church Can Do to Help the Future of Race Relations." Riverside Church had always been known as an activist congregation with activist preachers. So Will Campbell came to deliver this series of sermons. The text for Will Campbell's first sermon was the passage we just read a few moments ago in the Gospel of Mark. So Will Campbell finished reading the story of the rich young man, and then he began his sermon with these words. He said, "What can Riverside Church do? What can Riverside Church do to relate to their next door neighbors? Nothing. Nothing. nothing, he said, that is, unless you sell this big, beautiful sanctuary and all of the buildings that you have and give that money to the people who live around you. Let's go out on the street, he said, and see what we can get for this big building. Let's see what God would do if you sell this sanctuary. That was the first and the last sermon in the series of sermons at Riverside Church. Will Campbell was never asked to preach in Riverside Church again. The host pastor and congregation were not amused by his sermon. You see, his message was not the expected message. In other words, it was not what the church wanted to hear. They wanted to know, how could they be conscientious? They wanted to know, give us some simple steps that we as a congregation can do to make an impact in this community. Give us a plan. Give us a method of how we can help to restore relationships in this community. We'll set aside a little bit of money. We'll form a committee. We'll do whatever you ask. Just, we don't want to sell our building. Well, in some ways, their response to Will Campbell was similar to the response of the man in our text for today. This man was interested in eternal life, so he comes to Jesus with an important question. He wants to know about how he can gain eternal life. He has been involved with matters of faith for some time. He has been following the laws and the rules all of his life. So the rich young man asked Jesus, look, I've been doing all these things, but give me a plan. Give me a method. Give me a quick fix to this complex issue. This rich young man wanted to be given a program, a methodology, a simple step-by-step kind of method to follow to ensure he could gain eternal life. He had very good intentions, but he didn't want to sell everything. He didn't want to give everything away. He just wanted a simple plan or method to ensure he would have eternal life. Well, now we come to us. If I were you this morning and I was sitting out in the pews, I would be thinking to myself, okay, I know where this sermon's going. I get it. I understand. Look at how much we have. Look at how much less we could do without. We need to sacrifice. We need to give. It's the same sermon, right? Materialism does not bring about happiness. And if we took Jesus seriously in this passage, then we could live with so much less. We could give so much more away to others. That's the sermon. If I was sitting where you're sitting, and if I was still awake, that's exactly what I would be thinking this morning. We've all heard that sermon before, but let's be honest. If we preach that sermon this morning, then after hearing that, how many of us are going to go home and put a for sale sign in the yard? How many of us are going to sell everything we have and go out and give it to the poor? That's not the focus of our sermon this morning. You know, when I read this text, there's something I almost always miss. And it's such an important statement. But I'll tell you, I almost always miss it because the focus is usually on what we just said. Selling everything, giving it away. That is a crucial matter in this text. But there's something in this text that I almost always miss. It's a word. You know what it is. It's the theme of our service sermon this morning. It's love. You remember that verse right in the middle, right after this man asked the question, the text says, and Jesus loved him. Isn't that an unusual statement? This story appears in other gospels, but Mark is the only gospel that gives us that phrase, and Jesus loved him. Is this passage about giving things away? Is this passage about total commitment? Is this passage about being able to live with less? Is it about stewardship? Yes, yes, yes. This passage is also about love. The statement about love is really critical. But what kind of love are we talking about here? This is not a fairy tale kind of love, is it? It's not the kind of love we hear about in fairy tales where the prince and the princess live in a huge castle and they live happily ever after. It's not the kind of love we see in TVs or on movies. It's not a romantic kind of love at all, is it? No. This is a demanding kind of love. This is costly. This is sacrificial. This is love that has to be put into action. See, in the story, we are taught a very important principle. Love is action. Love is action. Jesus loved this rich young man. And if this rich young man were to love Jesus back, then action was required, sacrificial action. Action that for this man took the form of selling and giving. Jesus is teaching that eternal life comes from loving God. And loving God involves sacrificial giving. Loving God includes selling. It includes giving away. Loving God includes offering one's entire life to God. Love is action. That is the theme of this entire encounter. But again, not just any kind of love. Love here is not a feeling. It is not a strongly felt emotion. It is not even good intentions. It is action. Love is doing something. Love is putting your faith, your hope into actionable, demonstrative behavior. Love as action is a demanding enterprise. In Dostoevsky's book, The Brothers Karamazov, Father Zosima says, "Love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in dreams." What a great statement. Love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love, theoretically, in dreams. That's what Will Campbell was trying to say. That's what Jesus is trying to say in this text. Why is this passage so hard? Well, one minister said, maybe the word Christian has become too much like a label that we wear, kind of like a badge of honor, he says, rather than a style of life. For many, he writes, faith has cost us very little, particularly when placed next to those who have surrendered all for their faith. Few of us go that far and pay so much. And he ends with these words, unfortunately, the truth is that what costs us nothing is of little value to us. We value things in life that are expensive, costly, sacrificial. Those words ring true, don't they? Who buys a house and neglects it? Who buys an expensive car and pays no attention to the maintenance of it? Who buys an expensive pet and refuses to feed it? In the same way, then, discipleship, our relationship with God, our connection, our daily walk with God, following Christ, it has a price tag if it is to be valued. And that price tag of discipleship is love. Love in action. Our faith asks for a mutuality of love from those who would receive God's love and then would share God's love in the name of Christ. Love is both the invitation to keep the commandments. If you love me, Jesus says, you will do this. It is also the essence of the commandments as well. Love one another, as we read earlier in the service, Hadley read for us. In fact, it is this type of love, love in action, that sets followers of Jesus Christ apart from the rest of the world. It is this type of willed, purposeful love that transcends the level of feeling and compassion that often denotes what love is in our world today. Love in action, love based on the love of God coming through us to others, that kind of love in action, that's what's seen in volunteers at local charities. That kind of love in action is what's seen at Miss Mary's ice cream cranking. That kind of love in action is what's seen in tutors who read to young children, teaching them how to read. That kind of love in action is seen in the hands of those working in soup kitchens, in clothes closets, on roofs in Appalachia, dealing in relationships with those in Haiti, working with those hurting in Kenya. That kind of love in action is taking a meal to a grieving family. That kind of love in action is stooping to listen to a hurting, lonely person. That kind of love in action is what embodies the heart of God, our God who so loved the world that he gave his only son. Such love in action is commanded of us. It is called forth from us in our daily walk and in our relationships with others. So let's make this practical. What about us? What about you? What have you recently sacrificed or given of yourself for someone else? That is the heart and the soul of the Christian faith. That is Christian love itself. As Hadley read for us earlier in 1 Peter, love each other. That's what we read last week in 1 John chapter 3. Dear children, let us not love with words or with the tongue, but with actions, John says, and in truth. This then is how we know we belong to the truth, and our hearts set us free when our love becomes action in our lives. Love in action. This is how we know that we belong to the heart of God. It is how our hearts are set free in God's presence. I mentioned that this past Wednesday night, we had a prayer service. And in that prayer service, those who were here received a bracelet. It's a bracelet that many of our children, youth, and adults have. And it captured the theme of that prayer service. It captured the theme of this school year. It captures what this sermon is about. The bracelet reads, "They'll know us by our love." That's exactly what Jesus was saying to this rich young man. He was saying to this rich young man, look, you're asking about eternal life, but the way you know you are connected to the heart of God is when your love becomes action impacting the lives of other people. That's how you know your heart has been set free. Listen, this love, this kind of love, it is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart. It is tough. Scripture reminds us that Christ abides with those who abide in him and with those who possess the spirit of love that God commands and are willing to share it with others. This gift is the type of love that is evidenced in those who willingly receive God's love and share it with other people. But the ones who put God's love into action, these people become God's servants, willing to give of themselves, to put their love into action. They are the ones who see God's love, who experience God's love, and then give that love back to everyone they meet. They are the ones who live their lives, as the hymn writer said, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. How can you put your love into action? How does your life reflect the love of God that you have received to all of those who come in contact with you on a daily, weekly basis? What can you point to in your life that demonstrates, that illustrates the sacrificial, giving love of God shining forth through you? Love in action is not easy, but it is our calling. It is what God asks and expects from us. Love so amazing, so divine, demanding our soul, our lives, our all. That is what Jesus was saying to this rich young man. Jesus says to him, you ask about eternal life, I'm telling you what life is all about, and here it is. The most important thing you can do with your life is to receive my love and take that love and put it into action. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for faith, hope, and love. This morning we confess, God, that our lives are different. Our lives are better. Our lives are worth living because you love us. Help us, Lord, to not only receive your love, but to put that love into action, sharing and giving your love to everyone with whom we come in contact. So lead us, guide us, and bless us, Lord, and give us faith and courage that we might truly represent and reflect your love to all those we see and know. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.